interrupting the current neo-coronial cricketism to bring you Behind the Woodshed. This is Cricket Tube Busting episode BTWRLM467. We keep plugging along. Yes, we're still underneath the corona. The Rona, if you don't think that's still going on, I'm still astounded there's still people dealing with that and attempting to help. Where it's always going to go back to the same story. You got to go back to your communicable disease law, get the basics for what was supposed to happen, that didn't happen, and then we move from there. And so this is going to be a continuation. As we will talk more about today, a continuation from last week. I want to move from where we were, where we started there in the discussion and move it on, because I think, again, this is so important what's going on to show us how quickly things can change. This is unprecedented what we're watching in the world today. How they were able to pull all this off and the people were able to continue, just fell for it, if you will. I guess it's falling for it from my view. Without a response whatsoever, I don't think there's any real response. It's really been an interesting review. It'd be interesting to see what people know how to write and honestly look at the future, looking back at what they really say about this. It doesn't look good on the censorship part, but I'm going to moving on with something I think is going to affect your life. This is something on top of what they did with the virus stuff. Remember, there was no the virus, and no one ever checked it, and the law required that it was. So everybody's allowed treason to happen everywhere, and what we can see and identify was it was done in a bribe. I guess I got to say one more thing as I keep almost moving off the tabs here. Remember, when you're talking about harm, vaccine harms, when you're talking about VARS, you're at least two steps too late. It's not that that information is not valuable, but it's not valuable now until you establish the officials were derelict. Then you have all this stuff in the harms and say, and when you were derelict to follow the law, you caused these harms that were also predictable, and now they're evidenced. So I see my Twitter feed, through people finding out all the harms and all the documentation now, I don't say it's not important, but it's not important first. And so I just want to pass that on. I know my words doesn't really get out to as many people as it should. I see lots of really intelligent people, a lot of well-meaning people that are all focused on the wrong thing right now, and they're spending a lot of time before they lay the foundation stone of how they'll travel with the information. They're arguing, in fact, I just saw somebody, some representative, but we're going to sue the lady at the CDC for the mask thing. That's totally off the point. I hope anybody who's listened to me for any time knows that and knows how. That's the more important thing. You know how it's wrong. And I say that because if you know how, then you've done the study I've asked you to do for yourself, if nobody else. And in some regard, you're loaded up now with the idea of how to look into the future. A lot of people won't move until they really are affected. And even then, I'm noticing people will be affected and will allow harm upon them to some extent. They'll shoulder the burden. We really need to stop that. But even so, you press past. Finally, people will step up. And I want those people that listen to me and continue to do the study, my goal is that you're now fortified with how to respond. So you're just not part of the fodder that's out there. And you can really start to realize at least a stalemate against the oppression and the oppressor that has become what people think is government. But let me move into, I was going to start out with a joke, so I guess I got to go to the, well, it's not a joke. I shouldn't have said that. See, I'm not a good comedian. Actually, I'm a little disappointed. I noticed Kayate's not in the chat room, and I think I have a bit of thing for her. But anyway, let me move on here to the tabs. Or close. Just so much to go through. My mind just starts to reel with all that's going on. Again, I have another broadcast full of tabs that I couldn't put up this week. I have a whole list of things to go through that I didn't get to. There's just so much that we could talk about. And my objective is just to show you how to look at the world as the news, as the notice, what we might be able to take from it. And I know that's conditioned by how I see things, but the way I see things seems to be more on point of being able to respond when attacked. And I do believe we're in a war, and we're attacked, on by people that come under in costumes that benefits, and they're not. And again, this false front spaghetti Western. the world of notice, due process in the world is at least in the rule of law and democracy brand of injustice, is notice. Notice, opportunity, time, and place. That's the basics. If that's all you need to know, you're going to be given a notice, then you have an opportunity to respond and a place. And so you're looking for those qualifiers. If that notice comes out and there's not those, at least those three things, then you have a challenge for failure of notice and failure of due process. And I don't say much of this stuff. I talk about it in the past. People don't, we can't even get to the basics. But anyway, moving on here to this in commodity news, because I think this is going to be a cue and a core of what's going on in the future globally here. We're watching what's real and what's not. And we're watching somebody, a sovereign, which I ask you to become for yourself, a sovereign, taking note of what's important and casting off what's not. And I'm not saying when I say that means that's the global answer and we all follow suit, because this is going to fall short. This is another method for a sovereign to get control again. But ultimately, this type of sovereign, this national sovereign, is still a controlling, tyrannical condition. It seems that all governments are anymore. They're not actually established that way, but we've allowed that. We were given the notice these people that were in the offices of profit should have been moved out every 20 years, at least in the United States. How often have you seen that? No, the people that got in immediately changed some things, and they got everybody convinced that that wasn't the best way. To be civilized, you need to go through their instrumentality, their control grid. And we all agreed to all that. And I'm not one, as I said before, to just go, let's go down the violence track. And thank you to Cynical to comment, acknowledging what I'm saying. I understand, and it's not an argument over internet, because that's really not a discussion. I appreciate reconsidering that, because this is really, we're really having to look at reality. Where are we at? Who do we have? Who can we rely on? To what extent? And it's all seemingly a question at this point, and that's what's being taken advantage of. But in commodity news, because we're going to go through the commodities now, as you're going to watch your life, for various excuses and reasons, come into question relative to accessing commodities, the things that you need, the thing that societies need. The corn futures are expected to climb to a buck an ear as the pirates on Wall Street plunder the sinking ship of state. And in sports news, Tampa Bay Buccaneer coach retires from coaching in protest over Biden's Russia sanctions, raising the cost of the team to a buck and six bits an ear, and essentially making all their merch obsolete as the company considers a name change due to the identity and other inclusive, sustainable, and culturally dispensable concerns. Arians will be moving into the front office as a senior consultant for football for the purpose. For all of you that we're into that. Interesting. The backstory on that behind the woodshed. And last week, moving on, I explained that my contention with the promotion of what was going on in Ukraine as a proxy war by the terms used by the people in the Twitter for the definition. You can go back and listen to the broadcast if you want and find that spot if you want to hear that part. The whole broadcast is kind of tailored in that idea and moving through and all the tabs I did and all the directions you can look to see and give yourself the information, the background of what's going on. This week, I want to move a little bit further because it's more important to see maybe what's really gone on. Why, it wasn't a proxy war by definition either. It's not a proxy war. And I want to point out, to revisit that condition, from revisiting that back into this condition of what, and explain the direct war that has been declared. And the clues as to who and why and by what act is that found. And we saw Putin respond in a particular way in the news. You just look this up. I don't remember about the link. But in the response, that Putin has been able, in his response, to change fiscal policy. Listen to the subject matter of this, and you'll find out what this war is really about. And if it's a war at all, I'm not so sure, because I tell you the end game on this point ends up being for people the same tyranny, but better organized. And so all nations are involved in that point. But listen to the subject matter on this, and you'll see what happened that Putin responded to change when he did his responses, and this is planned. He changed the fiscal policy, he changed his credit policy, and he's changing and affecting financial policy. So that Russia would be immune to some certain extent over these sanctions. And I want you to remember what I was telling you in the past when I finally got aware of how important all this was and really where to focus the attention. And I told you at the time, and this came out of the White House, the sanctions were intended to thwart Russia's entry into Ukraine. And that was done almost a week after they were in Ukraine. And I told you for two reasons that sanctions were impotent. They are, is owned by Russia. They are important. And so this is what you're looking at. Now, what were the sanctions that were put in after? They were only intended, like the COVID, to prevent, but they don't even do that, do they? They don't do any of this stuff. They were already obsolete by the time they were put in. This is how well your government's working, and it's hard to see. Is this by, I think it was asked in the chat room, is this incompetence or by how much incompetence? Or do you look at this incompetence as a plan? Well, if you're not looking at the head clown, maybe it is a plan. And so we got to keep our possibilities and probabilities open. But, look at the subject matter, fiscal policy, credit policy, and financing policy. That is what the sanctions targeted. In Russia, if you remember, I've reported on this, and you've likely read it if you've been paying any attention over the last couple of years, has explained that it treats business entirely separate from war. In other words, you can be warring with somebody and still do business with them. When you look around the world and you see that's the fact. It's an interesting split that the countries have done. It's an interesting study about that. Again, this is all international law. Law is just an agreement. It doesn't mean law like we would think set in stone. Again, everyone who's dealing is perceived to be sovereign as a nation to decide for themselves. So, that you treat business separate than war is international principle. And Russia's been clear about stating that over and over and over. So all we have to do to find out who declared a war and how is to acknowledge that the United States instituted commerce sanctions to find that the U.S. declared war on Russia directly. This is not a proxy war. So be careful of the illusion that we have to be fighting. The economic attack was a declaration of war. And I told you at the time that Putin made a hesitation. And we'll get to that in a moment when I get into that thought to prove show. Again, the notice was given to us. So I want to also point out before I get there. So you have the United States declaring, directly attacking business, attacking commerce, attacking the life of somebody, a nation, through its commerce, through its commodities, through its ability to acquire. I mean, if you listen carefully, I've been talking about this for miners. We have the right to own land, exclusive of the United States government itself, and that right to own land and work the land, which is part of the grant to have the land, it all comes with the cost, but you're required to do the work on the purpose. But that right to also grants, to get the land, the right to acquire the land. This works, and we're talking about production and commodities, and when you're talking about gold, mining, and all these mineral things, these are going to be critical to understand, because this relates back out to things like food. It's all commodity. It's all done by the toil of a man or a woman, and to bring use from the land. And that was, in a way, held sacred, no different than immunities in international law. Again, the air quotes around law, it's just hopefully that people pay, the nations will honor it. They ought to, because over time immemorial, it's been found you don't attack civilians. They're helpless and they can't really do much. You don't attack their cultural centers. You don't attack their museums. You don't attack their libraries. You don't attack their school. You don't attack their people. In any way, don't make any excuses. These are supposed to be off limits. Just that's the way it's supposed to be. Your economics of how to feed people is part of that. That's the fiscal policy, and the United States used that as a weapon. And I want to say it again so it's clear. The United States declared war on Russia directly through its institution of financial sanctions, fiscal sanctions, monetary sanctions, credit sanctions that ultimately affect the food of the people in the world. So we're totally clear what I'm saying here. The United States has declared war on Russia. It's not even being waged in Ukraine. That's why I say, watch the multiple layers of parallel causes that are going on here. Start paying attention to these things. They run them all the time, like the pivot to China, and they show the military ships, the warships. I said, don't focus on the military. This pivot to China has to do with the economics of the future world, the controls of the future world as well, but most importantly that, because that's what will affect us. So the United States economically is trying to strangle Russia. And Russia, interestingly it seems, maybe counterintuitively, is actually in the power position as to time, place, method to stop the unjust attack against it. Given Russia and anybody who's in the condition, which you see many, many for years, decades, have not been able to be able to determine that the time, place, or method to stop the strangulation. The one who's being strangled has to have the power to do that. And if they don't, they're going to be strangled or they're going to give in, or tap out. Well, Russia's been setting itself up, as I identified to you, over time. Look at what they're doing here. Look at what China's doing here. They're setting up the system. This is not unknown to the system itself that we think is Fed-generated, IMF-generated, United States-controlled, Treasury-controlled. But when the United States did this, the United States has nothing to say about the response nor the standing to complain what happens from here on out. And Biden, when I told you that they should have taken the option to do the non-threatening things that Russia was asking relative to Ukraine, that was to stop this thing, and Biden didn't take that option. Biden should have never tried to strangle Russia with economic sanctions. Why? Because that's known in international circles as being a declaration of war, whether or not cannons are firing. And you're watching as it didn't take long for Russia to declare the war, despite Putin's equivalency hesitation that I had outlined in a previous broadcast, to actually make it so. And so I want to point you back now to the tabs about that, where we go to Kremlin officials says West has declared total war in the title, but you see that Putin was saying that it was an equivalent to declaration of war. They also knew that it was a hybrid war. And you're hearing then this Lavrov coming forward to now make a discussion, which comes out important, next day. And it didn't take long for Russia to remove the rope around its neck that was placed there directly by Biden and his administration, the Fed, the IMF, and the Treasury. And you watch what's going on very critically. Look, watch what's going on. The pivot quickly to the BRICS, the countries. Brazil's going to be a big deal here. They supply a ton of stuff to people. And so that's why you look at these, when they put these things together, this was the future. To augment what the United States can do on its own. You got Brazil, Russia, India, China, and, excuse me for not knowing the S. At any rate, I don't know why that didn't come to me. But anyway, I want to move on to what the BRICS was setting up was that SDR, the special drawing rights I told you about a long time ago. And that's where the IMF has also got its fingers. And we were talking in the chat, and I said that's because the IMF is still involved in this, even though it looks like there's a division, as declared by Biden. When he said the free world, the United States would leave the free world, I said that impliedly makes the unfree world, which is all these nations. It's like calling the heathen the outlaw, because they're not under your law, and reaching out and trying to pull them in. If they're strong enough, they can resist you. In this case, these countries had to build up to be stronger. Russia apparently has done it in order to cause this much change in the world this quickly. This is not something to blink, to disregard. It's, I think, literally coming to your house, another thing coming right into your house like the Rona fraud, the coronavirus bogus. And we're going to watch as Russia starts to show. And I told you, watch very carefully for those of you that believe that you have a free will and choice. Watch how a sovereign has to respond. I think that they have Russia has an example. There's many minds working on how this is going to work. And we see clearly and right up front what Russia went and did. And they did it on what? They're now basing everything they do on their commodities. In fact, they've now made the, if you will, a petro-ruble looking thing. Notwithstanding, we talked about the petro-yuan out of for China. They're also doing that for their gas. They're also talking to attach the gold they've been doing to their ruble. And this becomes now the problem that everyone in the United States has looked at the Fed and understood they want to call it printing out of thin air, but it's not really that either. It's actually based on a supposed lawful assumption or presumption or whatever you want to call it, called the good faith and credit of all y'all that are living in the United States of America. Your good faith and credit. I don't know if anybody's challenged that. That it can't go beyond what it can go, and they've got it so far beyond. But the Fed, it just shows you quickly that the Fed can print all the dollars it wants, but it can't print commodities. As Putin comes out and declares, from here on out, it's gas for rubles. And it doesn't sound like much. In fact, that was another comment. Doesn't sound like much that they did that. What they did is they're de-dollarizing all the outlaws to the United States. The BRICS is going to be de-dollarizing. Just like they're demilitarizing Ukraine and denazifying the place. This is a big deal. Watch what is able to displace fiction. It's what I've been asking people to start focusing on for years. I know it's awkward. I can't even say I've been able to practice it because I decided not to have anything so they can't take it. I was able to focus on what I needed to do. Not maybe the best decision, but it was a decision, and it's freed me up to be able to do what I'm doing. And I think so far I've been doing pretty good relative to still working. We're in the trenches fighting, so it's still a war. I can't get enough people to listen to defend themselves, so I don't know about that part, but I'm doing what I think I need to do and listening to whatever other people are doing and trying to integrate with all of that stuff as well. But he came out and said, our commodities need something in return. The Fed is not able to provide that. The dollar does not mean anything to us. That's all it takes for the United States of America, the people of the United States of America, to finally say. It doesn't matter. It's really not a thing about that gold and silver, in a way, is not. It's just another medium. That's not what you focus on. I think that was also stated in the chat room, the RLM chat room, earlier. That it's the fact that you're not coupled to something that somebody else controls. And it is a trust thing, but you just, historically, people trust in what was codified, if you will, or put in the social contract, if I can say all this, you know, hesitation words in air quotes, that gold and silver coin would be money. It would be what we would trust. And time immemorially, it has been proven to be better. Much better than anything else. However, Russia is saying our tangible oil, our commodity, is worth something more than your useless dollar. And you need to understand the importance of what they're saying. You need to understand, as I pointed out, maybe I don't highlight it so much, that the Kremlin official says the West has declared total war on Russia. Happened, I think, the 21st of last month. And Putin, that was done right after Putin said what the sanctions posted by the U.S. Here we go, the direct connection, not to NATO, to the U.S. and other Western countries are equivalent declaration of war. Where Lavrov comes out the very next day and says, no, this is total war. This is a real hybrid war. It's a declaration of war, and it's the goal of the West to destroy and break and annihilate and strangle, he even uses the word here, the Russian economy and Russia on the whole. And so these are serious allegations that have been with us for over a month. I pointed them out. There was a hesitation in Putin the day before by saying equivalent. I was wondering if, again, if they don't feel they're strangled, I'm not the one to call it. But Lavrov, I didn't see that. Lavrov calls it a war. It is the direct declaration of war on Russia by the United States. Russia acknowledges it will recognize all the Western countries that are the unfriendly countries that Putin then brings out his policy. That is going to be rubles for their gold, their oil. And it's going to be that. There's a thing. When you stop, see, the dollar works because it moves through the system. When they're not using dollars, it's not moving through the system. It stagnates, first of all. Secondly, it starts to have lesser value. They, in turn, fortify their internal economic structure by their rubles start moving internally. And I will tell you, it's also being used and going to be used as time goes on, given that there's not something completely outlandish like the asteroid that gets developed somewhere, that this is going to move more funds. Their ruble will be moving in their system. That gives it value as well. So look at what happened. Just because a sovereign stepped up and said, I'm no longer taking your paper, it's useless. You're not going to take my God-given labor, my work. You're not going to take the work like I do, let's say we would do in a mining claim, to extract that metal for everybody. That it doesn't seem like much, but it's gold is in everything that you do. And I'm looking at a 20-foot tall deposit of mineral rocks, which typically is just not used for value, that now mineral science, material science is saying every one of those rocks could very well be of value. And so our societies are grown out of what mining does, what I've strictly been looking at relative to how we discuss this, that the commodity that a man or woman pulls out of nature is the value. And so we get the clear statement that the Fed might be able to print the dollars, but it can't print a commodity. Is the bottom line. That's the ground. That's the soil. That's the foundation of society. That's what we're supposed to be protected in the United States. That hasn't been. That I'm focused on, because that's what we do as miners. A lot of people don't understand how connected people in the land are to the land and the way their society should operate. And that lack of appreciation is a very large problem. And I'm not here to judge. I'm saying that there's a lot of propaganda. You go farm to fork, you are being propagandized to. Don't even know it. You diminish what all your producers do. I'm talking about primary government. Your primary government is on the ground. The government that you see that's all in the books, that's tertiary government. There's an even government between that. That's the suppliers to the producers, those that help and aid the producers to supply the tertiary level, the third level, which is all government writings, licenses, all that stuff. So you have licenses up in the tertiary government. You have ingress and egress rights, let's say, for travel, the right to produce, and all that stuff in the ground. That's antecedent power. In the United States, it's supposed to be handed to the property owner, who then has best use rights, exclusive of everybody else. Boy, have we not been seeing that. So, along this story, if you track international law type things, Russia does this very well. I really do appreciate, they remind me all the time of all the stuff I read early on when I was reading that the Encyclopedia of Admiralty, Benedict's on Admiralty. I was sitting in a law library of a university for over a week, every day going in early with my lunch and stayed till late. Did that for about a week and a half, got through three quarters of that. I don't know how many volumes there are there. I can't remember now. It's been, when I first started to understand things. It's all about Admiralty is all about international law. And boy, that gave me, I don't know why I started there. I was directed to start there as, you get insights. But I'm sure glad I did. Part of it stuck. I don't know how much did. But it's sure given me, like I said, watching Russia act is bringing back that knowledge. That they're doing, Russia's doing it right for the most part, all of it. That Russia immediately summoned the U.S. ambassador and tells the U.S. the ties between the countries are on the verge of being severed. Another tab, you can read it. The Russian foreign minister summoned the U.S. ambassador on Monday and handed over a note of protest over unacceptable, quote, unacceptable comments about Russian President Vladimir Putin by U.S. President Joe Biden. Biden was recorded saying he thinks Putin is a war criminal last week, reported Reuters. Russia informed the U.S. that the ties are on the verge of being severed. Is not the kind of thing you want to do when you're at war. So I want you to listen to the gravity of the problem that's developed. We didn't look into the proxy war that I see all the celebritude going on through the Twitter talks about. This was a direct declaration of war through sanctions of commerce. I'll just leave it at commerce. That's typically it. It ends up being the supply of a nation of its needs to feed its population, an attack on the people themselves, which are supposed to be not attacked if they're not in the military to defend the nation. They actually, in this note after that, the latest headlines didn't trigger much of a market reaction, but the downbeat nature of recent Russian-Ukraine NATO updates suggests commodities like oil and precious metals, which are already firmly on the front foot on Monday, may remain well underpinned. So this is a direct attack immediately. They didn't talk about anything else. They're talking about where this attack was made and what it's going to affect. And you're not looking at the stupidity that's coming out of the back and forth and the opinions of Ukraine. I guess I just want to keep saying, understand how important this is. Understand the gravity of what's going on. This is some serious, serious stuff. Even if you don't have a bomb blowing up outside your house, as you might find a video showing what's happening to the people in Ukraine. Lavrov comes out as well to lay it out, actually. And I'm going to read from another tab here just because it was concise. I found it made sense. I didn't want to track down too much more when I saw here. Lavrov says, to question why couldn't the situation with Ukraine be resolved peacefully? Because the West did not want to resolve the situation by peaceful means. This is not about Ukraine at all. Or rather, not so much about Ukraine, but about the world legal order. The United States took over the whole of Europe. Under Biden, the United States set itself the task of subjugating Europe and achieved its unquestioning adherence to the American course. The current crisis is a fateful moment. I gotta keep interjecting. Are you listening to the gravity of this? I get chills, a little bit of chills. I'm reading. I said, give these folks in Russia truth. Give them the moment. Give them the power of their words and understand what they're telling you. They're not lying to us here. I guess that's the chill. This is just chilling statements of certain truth that's coming out. Totally missed, apparently, by the White House. You know I don't really believe that, but I'm just going to say it just because I got to move on. How obvious this crime is going on in the world. Caused and declared a war in the United States. They said World War III. I think we're way past World War numbers now. We've been there. Getting back to his statement, Lavrov. Excuse me, Mr. Lavrov, for interrupting your statement. Again, chills of the truth. Coming on as I read this to tell you and reassert, you better give all this stuff some weight. And why I'm saying that, ultimately, you go, what does it matter? Well, you're going to have to pay attention because as they start encroaching on your local life locally, you're going to have to start shouldering that burden. And it comes in quick. And yet your commodities only happen over time. Like if you're going to grow your food or some amount to supplement. This is coming on actually so quickly as I was doing the tabs. We're already into the news for next week, and I'm never going to get there at the broadcast. Life is now moving at warp speed, literally, and not in a good way. And getting back to Mr. Lavrov's statement, the current crisis is a fateful moment. You don't think they understand the importance of all this. It reflects the battle over what the world order will look like. A misunderstood sense of one's own infinite superiority also prevails in the situation that we are considering. Building a world in which the West will lead everything with impunity and unquestioningly. There's a lot of speculation that Russia is being pushed right now because it's the last hurdle to get past before China gets involved. This is simply said, but there is a serious truth in it. Why couldn't it be resolved by peace? We have been proposing to solve this amicably for many years. They then said, enough is enough. It's laid out just like my observation. I guess I just want to clarify. I've been talking to you about this for a few weeks now. Maybe a month now, I guess it is. My first error to not give weight to what their culture and their interpretation and perception would be. Being corrected in not even a few days. Making that important, and it recorrected my whole view. Maybe relook at this whole thing and state to you the next week what is really going to, well, what would have to go on based in that. And these tabs are showing us that's exactly what we should and ought to have been doing. If not the government, the people. So I bring up now a Telegram document that came up I guess they work like a Twitter, if you will. You get to post things. And I then also had to bring up the translation because it's all in Russian. And I have to say, and this is the other thing I noticed, you make isolation, cultures isolate cultures. You can't integrate the power and the activity and the intelligence and the application of people together to be better. And I'm saying that because I'm using Yandex Translate. And boy, it's pretty handy. And that's why I'm giving you part of a link of a copy of this thing. Part of this Telegram post that I can't read as far as understanding the Russian, but the translator works very, very well, and so I wanted to offer that over. It's very cool how it works, but the part I wanted to highlight on this is the Russian army showed a diagram of how the United States controls biological laboratories in Ukraine. The materials allow us to trace the scheme of interaction of the U.S. government agencies with Ukrainian biological objects. That's the translation. I just want to point out the Russian army is coming with evidence of what's going on, and in face of the direct declaration of war, gives Russia the right to inquire, even if you had a secondary thought, as to what are those things, those biological things doing there. As we talked before, relative to the son Biden's integration and investment through many nested corporations. And so there's a evidence building. In a war condition, a direct declared war condition, showing that in Ukraine, counter to international law, counter to agreements, you have to understand the United States agreed in the establishment of Ukraine to certain limitations, and certainly to NATO. That the United States itself is sitting in Ukraine with its labs or its funding, and no difference in my mind. But the Russians now are privy to, if they didn't have intelligence about, they now have the documents coming out. But I want to show you, I'm just pointing out, there is a war. There is battles, things going on. There is weapons happening. You're going to watch a lot of, you know, the United States will come out and deny offensive biology. How do you know? And you're not supposed to be there anyway. You don't have to get into the questions. The United States declared war, and then we're found to have biological agent support on what the Russians now, again, the Russians are in the power. They get to determine the threat that was created by Biden when he didn't take their lead and hand them an unthreatening answer to stop this. You have to really understand this because I want you to understand, whether it's Biden or Trump or Obama and the pivot, all this stuff, this has been an ongoing agenda through all these presidents, and Biden's the last one with the hot potato. And he mishandle it or handle it wrongly on purpose. And it's going to affect people now, globally. You want to see the power of the United States to be a bully? It's happening now globally as half the world's going to say, we're done. Enough's enough. And it took someone, a sovereign, to step up, situate itself in a certain way, plan ahead, understand the condition the battlefield is, I tell you to do for your life. And then get ready to fight the oppressor. Do you think the United States is going away on all this? No, it doesn't matter. It seems like they'll double down. What are they doing? Instead of doing principled things, apparently to fall faster and farther, Biden decided to try double down devolution. because I can't see how this is not just an evil working in the world. And I think we're going to watch as this comes on. And I think I have a link that shows you the Russians believe that it goes into that dimension as well, evil. Now, I don't know about I can get too much into my opinion about over this. I'm looking at this strictly at someone reached over, tried to stranglehold somebody, and someone's saying, no, you're not going to, I'm not going to allow you to do that. And other people who are being strangled or bullied said, yeah, we're no longer going to be strangled ourselves now. The dominoes are falling. How fast they fall, I don't know. How deep they fall, I don't know. But there is a new world here, and you better understand it. Not the new world. There was a question about New World Order. I really don't know what New World Order is. It depends on who you talk to. I kind of looked through those titles, and I looked at the condition. Know them by their deeds, folks. Yeah, there's lots of layers to this. I don't even want to focus on any of it. Just, it's there. It could be any of it. And let's look at that. That thing is going and coming through. They still needed a good cop, bad cop. They need a division in the world. They got it in this. The end's going to be resulting. If we don't stop it and do take on what we need to do as sovereign people in every country, they're going to get that other end. We're being shown how it's done to create a resistance to an oppressor. It's no matter now that we'll be our own oppressor when we finally do that. That's not the point. This is how it gets done. We find that now the Russians come out and say, yeah, these biological laboratories, well, you can deny it, United Pentagon, that they're not offensive, but we don't know that, and we're not going to take your word for it. You've been lying to us the whole time. And you're an enemy now. You've declared us to be an enemy. In fact, you've said our leader is a war criminal. And what Biden's failure was, you should take notice of this, he didn't substantiate his claim. This is the same thing any other environmental terrorist would do. This is the same thing that any domestic terrorist would do, to just declare something without substantiation. Exactly the opposite of what I've told you do. You find the duty first, the black and white, and then you show where it was failed. Then you call them the problem. Then you identify what they might be relative to those elements. So Biden came out and called Putin a war criminal. Lavrov went to call the ambassador, just what they're supposed to do. And they said, you're on thin ice, folks. And you're talking to someone in Russia that doesn't care now. They care, I'm saying, for them. They see it's an existential threat to their existence. Do not move from that. And I have some, I hope I'm going to try and play this. It's only about a minute. If you don't take it from the guy behind the woodshed, listen to Alexander Dugin. I hope this plays out. The title for this said, Putin is a liberal Democrat. I wanted you to hear as well, Alexander Dugin understands that Putin is almost a globalist. I thought that little phrase that was not in the title was maybe more important. Political persuasion didn't interest me. The fact that he's perceived in his own country as almost a globalist did, because that's one of the end results of this thing that's going on. As we talk about the pivot to China, the crypto this, the digital that, big data, all this stuff we talk about, listen to Alexander Dugin for our next minute, and I'll try and keep the levels right. Hope it all works out here.
And to make war. He hates the war. And that, or special military operations, he hates as well. Special military operations, he doesn't love it. Maybe in his place, I would start it for sure, much earlier. Maybe not let no republic go get out of our common country. But Putin is a liberal democrat. He's very Western in his opinion. He is very careful about the global rules. And if he violates some of them, so that means he has no other solution in his very liberal, democratic, globalist almost vision of the world. And that is serious. That is why I it is not extra vagant, some unbalanced, hysterical step. That is for sure. So he calculated, Putin calculated everything. And without achieving these goals, he will not stop, and nothing would stop him. Nothing, including nuclear threat, as he has said. So everything is serious. And this geopolitical explanation shows how really serious it is.
So, under the words of Alexander Dugin, he didn't say much different than what I've said when I realized the importance myself, when I got through my dismay of what the invasion, but then I heard Russians' reason and I gave them weight. I gave their reasons weight and I gave them international law power. And you heard that Alexander Dugin, Putin has been indeed, as best he can, and I think he hasn't really done too many violations to international law. You saw them respond with Lavrov to the ambassador through administrative channels. Putin does not want to make violations of law. I've been watching this. They're strict. Their statement is strict to that, to making sure that they adhere to all that. You listen to how the contracts that they've signed, the treaties or conventions they've signed, are always stated before that their compliance is with those things before he makes a statement. Exactly how I've been telling you all to how you respond. You show how you were in compliance with the law, or on the other hand, with their dereliction, how the other side was not in compliance before you have to entertain. Alexander Dugin explained to you what I've been explaining, the thing I hadn't known. I don't know what it means to be a liberal Democrat in Russia. I understand what it might be to be a globalist almost. And that's because I'm focused on the globalist side, if you will, the sustainable thing that is what we see the thread continuing through. And one of the aspects, the iterations, is electronic, is the phones, is all this other stuff, the security surveillance nonsense that goes on. Alexander Dugin, wraps it right up. He's also saying, listen and make this important. This is important stuff. And so I want to, again, what you've watched in the world was a direct declaration of war made by the United States against Russia. So let's stop talking about the proxy thing. Let's stop looking at the fighting between them. That's like almost like a civil thing going on between them. For us, we have a very international law-based condition going on. You heard him say Putin has calculated every step. He said that. I don't even have to make that up. I said give that weight. Alexander Dugin confirms that's how we should hear it. Why do I keep going through this? I think we're being too dismissive of what is going on. Why? Because there's a big tsunami coming because of this, what seems to be a simple thing that went on when Biden was too, I don't know what to call it. I don't know if it was a plan. I think it might have been a plan because that's the next, another layer of the fulfillment is that it was planned. They need you in the United States and everyone in the Western world to be destroyed. And you're watching how that works. It's not affecting Russia like everybody thought. Oh, they're surprised. Just like they were surprised that Russia went in. And I told you, as soon as Russia went in, you better not put the sanctions on. In fact, they were too late. And they're only going to be what? They're going to be like spitting into a hurricane. Blow back big time. In one sentence, Putin changed the geopolitical order in the world. A set of documents here you can read on the internet. Notice to us from, if you will, the observations of other people. Not with our bias in Western mind, our destroyed Western mind on how we look at stuff, but through the people who are looking and saying, man, this is all surprising. Now let's reanalyze. And what is this? What is this going on? What did he say? Rubles for oil. He said a lot of one sentence things that have completely destabilized everything and set everything in motion. And they're only able to do that because they are militarily able to defend themselves and not rely on that dollar. And they understood early, like I've been trying to get y'all to understand, your answer is in the soil. Your answer is in what you can pull from the soil. And understanding all those saving clauses that are in your laws that have been usurped by these enemies, foreign and domestic, and domesticated, your spies amongst you. In a way, why I'm able to focus so quickly on the COVID, was able to focus on the dereliction, that they did it for money, that they're bribable, they're bribed. We all talk about it, but can you identify it and where? To my dismay, I get crickets on the actual response. Everybody wants to do something else. We want to argue about the fighting in Ukraine, who's right, who's wrong, instead of saying, wait a minute, the United States just declared war on Russia, and Russia is in the power position. In one sentence, the power of this man in Russia, Putin, he's altered the entire, been put in question the entire economic system, if I can use that simple word there. I don't know what to say. You need to read these stories and make them important. It's the news of the day, but it's the notice of the day that you have to understand what one man just did and his ability to withstand a power, a pressure, and his, they don't care about that pressure. Again, you can't print commodities. And they know the world needs what they have to offer. They don't have to supply the world, the entire world either, but when you look at the pivot to Eurasia, you're looking at a population centers that dwarf the United States. And when they get put and turned around into the a better capitalistic system, as even Russia did, and you make that business more important, and you do more to the capital, now they can do it because they're not in the dollar. They can do capitalism. Commodities, something tangible for something tangible. Their populations will become more prosperous, and that will shift as well. This is going to take some time. Overnight, they've shifted the whole world. They're not joking when they say this is a, I've heard game changer. This is a complete, well, it says, here's the next article, the ruble, the dollar, and the price of gold. Who is really winning the economic chess game? Russia has just made some moves that are going to change the global financial system forever. All it took was one standing up that had the power to withstand all the hollow threats the United States could put out. I told you, when I saw that, all they could do, when they all they could do was sanctions, they were impotent. You need to see that for yourself. When the conflict of Ukraine originally erupted, the U.S. immediately attempted to crash the value of the Russian currency. Those attempts were successful for a few days, but now the value of the ruble relative to the U.S. dollar is almost all the way back to where it was before the start of the war. So this article identifies it as a war, and it was declared directly by the United States, not something over in Ukraine, not some proxy nonsense. That is a different, that is, that's going on, but that has a different analysis. And I've touched that as well. Why? Because I want you to understand there's a way to approach this, and it's not so darn confusing, actually. And we as a people outside that are actually the part of a nation of insane psychopaths in Washington attacking other people without good reason in violation of law, doing unprincipled things, have to be concerned. I don't know what else to say. I don't know what else to say about it. People say, well, I don't have to be concerned. Okay. Okay. Really? Is that really where we're going to leave it up? I mean, you throw your hands up? No, this is a bigger deal. And also, it's an opportunity. And that's the other thing. I think people understand if they can throw their hands up in the air and say, oh, I got nothing I can do about it, then they don't realize that they're going to walk from the responsibility to be the people who really have an insight who just say, it looks like I'm just not going to do anything with it. I'm not going to even be an example to show what one little step there is to do. I'm just going to be the one that throws up my hands. But who's winning the chess game? See, look very carefully. This article I thought was interesting in that it identifies certain type of corollaries that we can be looking through. In a way, yes, it spoke through what I've also already said for a long time, what was going on. Then the question, attempting to answer the question, what will world order look like after the war in Ukraine? That's really a misfocused view, but because of what was the attack was on the global financial system that Putin cracked, at least cracked. What will the world order look like? That new world order? Remember, I want to keep reminding you to tell you, Biden announced a new world order that will emerge as a result of the current Ukrainian epic, but he said for the free world. And I told you that created the unfree, if you will, world. But it's more in the idea of being uncivilized and heathen. You're just outside that system. Like the miners. We're outlaws. Understand the correlation of free people, what they're really called, what they really are looking to, a so-called civilized system. It doesn't mean that you're really uncivilized. It's that you're just not within control. And we in America have lost that heart and that insight and that heart. But Biden announced a new world order. It seems that an agreement was suddenly reached between Moscow and Washington, but only to one point. After all, Moscow is also talking about an epochal struggle for a new world order. However, Biden is obviously dishonest because he only dreams of returning to the old way of life with leadership of the United States. What will the new world really look like? The world is at a turning point, this article says, that is repeated every three or four generations, United States Joe Biden said at a meeting of the lobby organization Business Roundtable on Tuesday, according to the hosts of the White House. The last time humanity passed such a bifurcation point was in 1946. I think I'll end there. This is the statement of a deluded, possibly dementia, jab-harmed individual. The turning point is done. We've passed the turning point. And Joe Biden caused that turning point because he didn't give to Russia what it was reasonably asking for. And really what it was asking for was all the things the United States agreed to at that point that it was denying. So what will the world look like? I guess we could ponder that. I guess this story here for us and reading it is people now looking at this earth shaking, financially shaking condition, which reduces itself to be your problem. We want to see evidence of the pivot. You want to see how people, other nations are coalescing. You don't think there's an unfree world that's going to start coalescing under the shackles being broken? The U.S. says Russia to attend Afghan meetings in China. China is holding two multinational meetings in an ancient town of Tuxi, I guess it is. Excuse me, I got to change all these languages. All these letters mean something else. The new coding. Tungji, to discuss the economic and humanitarian crisis facing Afghanistan, and Beijing makes a diplomatic push for the country's stability and development under the Taliban, which just came out with another decision. So the Taliban is in power in Afghanistan. They're being recognized, and China's doing their diplomatic and humanitarian things and economic things. Here's the point about it going to, so what's that have to do with all this? Afghan acting foreign minister Emir Khan Mattiki is attending the two-day meeting to be attended by foreign ministers of Afghanistan's immediate neighbors, Russia, Pakistan, an unsung agent here that you can't imagine the power has. Remember, they are also nuclear. Pakistan, Iran, Tajikistan, Turkmenistan, Uzbekistan. We're talking about Asia, folks. These people are being called together by China. They start working together. They're working together for their best interest together. The U.S. is out. They're working on economic and humanitarian crisis with Afghanistan, which will provide a feedback loop between all these nations on economic restructuring. In diplomats from Indonesia and Qatar will send their representatives as guest attendees to the regional meeting to be hosted by Chinese Foreign Minister Wang Yi. The talks will echo positively with the third meeting of the foreign ministers of the Afghan neighboring countries to further cement the consensus of all parties to help Afghanistan achieve peace, stability, and development at an early date, the Chinese Foreign Minister spokesman said. I'll leave it there. You need to read this. You're watching. Now the chains are broken. The Eurasia, the pivot to China is now coming and coalescing. If you don't think there's going to be an unfree world upon which the United States will be at war with, that's a surface veneer because underneath it, they're all going to be using digital controls. Don't ever forget that part. The people are just going to end up going with that. But a fierce blow to globalists follows. Russia withdraws from WHO, stops funding. There's a question mark explanation. It actually hasn't withdrawn from the WHO, not the rock group, the OWL, or the little folks of WHOville, but the World Health Organization is being thought to be dropped by the State Duma Health Committee in Russia. as we see the fragmentation of a so-called authority, an international authority as well. But is this a fierce blow to the globalists? What caught my attention was when you heard Alexander Dugin said that Putin is a globalist almost in his views. And what I see relative to advancing what we think is globalism, if you in the sense of sustainability, and underlying Agenda 2030, which is to the 2030, and then 2020, which is starting to the 2050 and the 2100, this Klaus Genghis Khan Schwab thing that WEF is also promoting and has its agents, they tell all their agents inside as a cancer of every country that's going to be anybody. We see the propaganda that there's going to be a blow to globalists, and I want to say no, this is going to bring that on. Whatever you see in Ukraine is irrelevant to all that. They're actually bringing it on. I talked about what Ukraine's already done to bring that on, notwithstanding the war, so-called the war, which, as you heard, Alexander Dugin says Putin does not like that even the special operation, and probably what the stick in his craw is relative to why you don't even want to call it a war. It's already distasteful to do the special operation. So I would say give that credit in your mind and thought when you're considering what are the real motivations? Where is this? Because you can start relieving certain things. If they're not really motivated, then they're protecting certain things from being promoted. There's an underlying reason why. And I would say give Russia their due on what. You don't have to agree necessarily, because they're the ones that are the action member in the world. You're just sitting at your chair somewhere reading the news. You're doing nothing. You're not even an armchair quarterback here. Because what they're going to do is what's going to happen. And so we see the indication that there's a propaganda that says, well, this is a blow to the globalists. Well, this was really a war, an economic and fiscal war. So be careful of commingling globalism with this fiscal monetary war that's going on, that's now been brought down to the ground with monetization of commodity. Even though the ruble is a fiat, it still now looks like it may be based in a commodity, whether that's the black gold or whether that's the gold. Is up for grabs, because all that will matter is who money is really, this whatever believe it can be used, or whatever people believe and can trust in. And with these high level economic development things going on, they will build trust in all these currencies. And don't forget the idea of a basket of currencies, not foreign. It's been being developed in the SDR, special drawing rights. It's not even money. It's not even currency. It's just a way to do the international ledgers. And so that's already on tap. They're already focusing on the BRICS. And that still hasn't come up. South Africa? Is that what S is? Excuse me for my ignorance on that. Anyway, doesn't matter. That's what they are. And you're watching the basket of currencies is going to become more prominent. And don't forget, underlying that, the IMF is in agreement. And why there's a thread still going through this. But also, let's expand the purpose of Russia. What motivates them? Is in another story I found here. And again, some of these are translated documents, and I don't know more than to tell you that. Just observe through these things. But this is a title that I caught my eye because of Turkey being involved, because of the recent, here, I think it just happened here this last few weeks with a meeting in Hagia Sophia of the Muslim faith, which appears to be a serious problem on historic levels, and a serious insult as well, that this becomes important, a Christian reset. Russia destroys Klaus Schwab and his K-19 Great Reset. Another story appearing to me to downplay the globalist, if you will, condition of where this ends up going in one of the parallel branches, but that they're putting a religious context on this is as important in Russia, Orthodox Christianity, and we should be paying attention to it, because there's a rift in this world relative to the Roman Christianity as well. And even so with the Greek Orthodoxy, which the Hagia Sophia is about, that brings a whole lot of stuff in here really well, really quickly, that there's a lot of historic precedent to be researching to see what's really in play here. This really is an interesting thing coming about. But Russia looks at this thing as a Christian reset, or at least the author of this, and that it attacks the Klaus Schwab in his K-19 Great Reset. Well, just observe that's what they're thinking. Russia is an historic opportunity to regulate if China does not stab it in the back, an order that would return to the new normality said by Klaus Schwab and K-19 agenda of the Great Reset to the track of a Christian normalcy. And so I would give that weight. It could. This is, if you will, what I would say, the savings clauses built into this, notwithstanding we don't have a religious context to that in the States, in the United States of America. We have said that we believe that there's a Christian base to this. There's a debate on the actual word you would use to call these people that started this country. However, there's a great Christian influence. Whether or not that's been perturbed as well is a question. However, this is the importance I've been telling you put on what Russia was doing. This was not one level we're going to go attack Ukraine. This is now being promoted to actually destroy Klaus Schwab. It'll only be if they do not adopt all the things that we find as even stated in simply as Agenda 2030. I'm concerned, and if I will, fear, if fear is the word here, that's not going to be the case. They're already embracing what the Klaus Schwab group is, even if they leave them in the dust. If Russia treats the Klaus Schwab types as Nazis and denazifies what they've done, they have already been infected with the problem. Partly because the thing maybe I myself would not agree with how their past has brought them into, if you will, communism. And that's also another debatable thing. Or what they call socialism, or even an adaption of that. Which, I have no qualm with it, because the United States of America looks even worse than all that right now. At least someone's bringing back a principle. I guess that's the underlying point about this. What's the principle they're trying to speak from? What's the principle that they're moving from and using as their foundation? You need to give weight to that. So it's been talked about here. This is a Christian reset. I'm not so sure it's so much that, but that there can be the concepting of the charity, if you will, the work of people working amongst the best themselves and the best to even an uncertain physical future, but a more certain existential future due to the good works, if you will, and faith in those works and in the future of doing that. Russia works from that. I actually think more people should work from that as well. They don't have to get all religious over it. There's just a better world, and we're not seeing it. And so that's been driven by people who are not believing that that better world is possible and giving up, in a way. Whatever they are not doing at this point. And there's lots of ways to get at this. So there's no one way here in my mind. I don't even know what the way is. It's just the way. Well, there is the way. And you either have that in you or you don't, I suppose. Russia actually comes from that in the orthodox sense. Give it weight. It's playing in the world right now. I believe, though, it's being used as a cover, as lots of things are as well. They're in earnest in what they do, but there is another driving motivation. I guess even some people may not even see that are doing it, and that's the other problem. As we move in, and more, as I said, more things are coming to the fore here. Watch the evidence of the world coming in giving us examples, even at this late date. Things can happen when we step up and have the power to maintain that. That the people become more able to stay the truth, feel less threatened, because that type of oppression and censorship and all that being called out, being penalized for speaking out, that starts to quiet people down. But with this happening on the world, I hesitate to say the light shining on the world, but this is a bit of a light. It's not going to be the light. In that I don't necessarily trust those who are actually wielding it. But to us, who normally don't have a say, it is a light to us on what's going on. Gives us a bit of freedom to say things. An Australian senator of Serbian origin reveals the truth about Klaus Schwab, as we get this consistent statement that what Russia is doing is going to relieve us of this. The referring to commodity, monetizing your currencies and stabilizing that part, yes. But that's not the only thing that's going on, and not by only people that are focused on that. So, in fact, they will use it in order to bring on the next iteration. And I keep thinking back, remember, BRICS is allowed by the IMF, so there's going to be a real fuzziness there as well. But Australian Senator Alec Antic, Father Ratomir, from South Australia, shattered the agenda of the Great Reset World Economic Forum during a recent session of Parliament, exposing it as a subversive communist trick. Subtext there, I'll just finish that. You can read more about it. There's people now focusing on discussing what this one agenda running that is a cancer in your societies, and I know about it, whether we didn't speak of it in terms of world economic, again, economic here, right? The word's critical to this whole thing that's going on. We sued that in 2013, but we didn't refer to the World Economic Forum. We were looking at how sustainability and the adherence of your systemic institutions in your states, in one particular state, and the agents inside that system, and the academia, and the law system, and the bar association, and the political parties, both of them, of any merit in that state, were the subversion of your republican form of representative government, utilizing money under color of proper authority, leveraging that money against you, is all what we sued in 2013. What this guy here now, Senator, Australian Senator Alex Antic, that's not an antic, is now free to feel that he can comment on, is already in the world. Nothing new here, but I found it an interesting focus that this thing is being attributed to Russia to overthrow. I really am not so sure, because some of the underlying things that are going on. Now, the concurrence with this World War III, everyone's giving it a number, I'm not so sure, but World War III has begun, is becoming more of a common thought, and we should not have been waited this long a month to have that come out. And some people, I think, were seeing it only because of the, you know, a lot of people are that way, that, oh, there's a war, it must be World War III. There's a war in Ukraine, it was World War III. But no one really focused on the fact that the United States declared the war when it put the sanctions on. I haven't seen, they could be out there, but I haven't seen anybody actually identifying that. Here we have people now are seeing, it seems, that the Third World War has begun, which smart people have been talking about for so long as necessities in order to save the American economy. The world we lived in is definitely dead. And so, again, pointing out that there's a real conflict in a war in the world, I don't think it has anything to do with that part of it in Ukraine. They're focusing there. We know what it was. It was a direct declaration. And it has to do with your economic credit and your fiscal well-being in the world. Every people in the world. And until that gets stabilized out, we're going to see some trouble. And until the tug-of-war happens between what is ought to happen under that new framework, and what will happen, you will, particularly in the United States, living on the back of all the other world, you're not going to be treated so fairly anymore. And you're watching the whole world turn its back now and focus in on themselves and start to take this time to go do that. For now, it says here, the war is materializing in the form of a mediation conflict in Ukraine, but don't be fooled, this article says. In fact, what is happening is not exactly what we see, even if we read exclusive Ukrainian and Russian propaganda. In fact, the eagle, the bear, and the dragon have begun a new division of the world, and now there is a struggle for prey, and that prey is Europe. And I would say, I have to add, no, it's everyone, anybody that the new governmental structures can take advantage of. And this article goes on to say, stupid, autistic, and detached from reality, following other people's interests, is how this played out. You can attribute that to what I would attribute to Biden. And this is not politics, folks. This is strictly looking at international law, what was to be done, the relative powers, looking at the chessboard and saying, you know, Biden, if you do that, you strangle Russia, giving them the power. And they've been preparing for this thing. They're waiting for you to drag that rope around their neck. And you know what? Biden was demented enough, and suffering dementia, the jab injured enough, I should say, to be able to just to go ahead and do that. Moreover, it says here, the United States needs Europe only as an opportunity to burden its state debt on and to drain it to the end. That is another parallel thing that actually goes on as you watch when this FRN, the decoupling of the United States dollar into the petro system, waiting for the Saudis to get the backbone enough to say, well, we're in control for that because you have based it on our oil, like Russia's doing when they do their own supply. They could have been doing it a long time ago, but see, there was so much bribery going on, so much graft, if you will, so much influence the United States had. Nobody strong enough to object, and now that Russia has, you're watching all the reorganization going on, the relinkaging in more normalized ways for those people. So we again, have no standing to be arguing who has the right to go do what. We have no actual moral authority at all to be declaring upon anybody anything. And the more we do, the more desperate and criminal we will look to that. I'll stop reading this as we move on. Now, people are seeing that this is, those who have been watching see it is a world war, but it's not Ukraine. Look past it. And I say even look past that Europe is the prey. There's major problems when you have a major supplier of commodities sitting right as a neighbor and one that's halfway around the world or quarter so. To make it valuable to you. And you're watching all this problem come out relative to this as they talk about how expensive it is, how it's breaking linkages with how it's, everyone's compromised relative to what they can decide in Europe. How Germany, and I think we've got a tab if I might get to it, how Germany is on the brink. Now, I don't know if quite what they're saying is true, but on the brink nonetheless, all because what Biden did. It's that, I mean, I can't see any other reason how this didn't happen because of that. And I'm looking now on the next tab, trying to, had a link to go to, it didn't come up quite so fast. I guess I'm going to point, it was a, I'm going to miss what this is about. It didn't go to the link that I wanted, but it's a Moon Over Miami comment, and it's, again, a printout of what Lavrov was talking about. It's highly instructive of their position, and more to the point of what we need to know that is going on, the perspective of Russia, that this is bigger than Ukraine. It's so much bigger, and it's going to have a... It is, right now, it's the fiscal and monetary asteroid that has hit the Earth. In one sentence stated by one man in a power position in a country that can defend it. Or at least they have, he has calculated so. And I think so. I think when you look at Russia as a defensive army, and we're not going to, the United States knows they can't attack that. They may be, what people think is having problems in Ukraine, which I don't think is true either. This was also a plan. We had to retreat from Kyiv. No, what they did is they kept a bunch of armies sitting up in Kyiv while they went and attacked the east and the south. And now they can pull out and go and take out the east now. Pretty brilliant chess move there. But anyway, it's not even for me to say, just an observation, that the comment of what's going on, Lavrov speaking, the foreign minister telegraphing to the ambassador to Russia to the world, is not to be taken lightly at this point, and you would be well to study what they're saying. I left that link I wanted to read from it, but it was a pretty extensive as well. Then I'll move on to Russia. Ruble has recovered all post-sanction losses and is now trading higher than before the war. Is what I suggested would be the blowback to the United States. They're not being affected. You are. All right, so they figured this out. They realize markets are finicky. They also realize they're coming in with commodity. They're coming in with a substantial support for their own currency. And they could dictate what they want to sell their Ford pickup for. If you want that pickup, you're going to pay them in what they ask for. And so that's simple, folks. Market demand and the ability to control your own property as against the needs of someone else. And Putin's not going to be bullied anymore. And a lot of countries are now seeing that they're not going to be bullied either. Russian ruble has recovered all post-sanction losses. Yes, there's this big, see, market speculation going on. Putin, as we heard Alexander Dugin talk, says he calculated all this. I told you to believe it. Believe they've calculated this. And sure enough, we see it kind of start to rebound. And this is not even it. I mean, that's just a market thing. There's a stability thing that they're building in for them as long and they get more people coming in to utilize their currency as opposed to the dollar. Every dollar that doesn't get used, it diminishes the United States Federal Reserve note, and it also causes a question as to the, well, they've already caused the question as to the guarantees and the trustability of the system. Biden should have never pulled this sanctions for that reason alone and then plundered the Russian gold, plundered the Russian commodities that it had assets to. The insult here is just, even to me, if I don't even take a Russian, my anticipation of a Russian view, the insult to my mind is beyond. Whoever came up with this was, they got to be evil. They're not even thinking. It's not about thinking. And so we see. We blew a spit right into a hurricane. It comes back in our face and going to be coming back in our face. Russia's moving on. Russia's moving on. The rest of the world is moving on. This is a global shift. This is the global financial asteroid. And we move into where I want to kind of go and watch us as we start seeing the West, the free world, where they're moving, where Russia has already moved into without too much fanfare, and China already, and I think they're moving India already into it, although that population is kind of interesting. Those of you in India, you may have a power. You just keep yourself unavailable to this technology, unavailable to the phone, unavailable to all the so-called 5G, which is 4G plus, that they're trying to put in all the rural areas to hook you up. You resist that hookup, and you'll be just like if you're and then demand cash. You'll be one of the resistors. Hopefully you move into the commodity that Russia is showing you should to, like gold and silver that you have, since in India you're really into gold anyway. Make it your currency. Make it your form of money. Don't let them get you into the electronic side of this, because at the same time, just as Ukraine went into this digital condition, right where they're fighting a war, you think that would be the least of their worries. No, it's one of the top concerns. Few will likely paid attention. On March 9th, President Biden signed an executive order directing the government to begin developing a central bank digital currency, CBDC, to be issued by the Federal Reserve alongside a framework to regulate private cryptocurrencies. But this was a moment to which close attention is very much due. All these things that are happening now are very going to be very important. They have to do with your financial credit, your fiscal, your ability, your medium of exchange conditions. I don't know why the CBDCs are even coming up when we had the ability and knew about them before. We can make our own our non-digital bucks. You know, we've been printing, people are making private bucks. All as long as companies agree with it, you can do your own. This actually could be private digital if you've agreed with it. But the problem is you have to have the technology. And so that's my first problem with all that. It's an unstated oversight in everybody who speaks about crypto. But anyway, moving on to here, the Fed's moving on in terms of the CBDC, is digital money the central bank issues directly, folks. Direct attack on you, direct accountability on you by people you don't even know, because it's their coin, not yours. Gold is a thing that is owned as a property, and so you understand that's not how your dollars, your currency is actually held. And then you get into the electronics, you have so many subsystems that are involved and subcontracts that are allowing you. We're talking about allowing you to do something? Yeah. But they're moving right into that digital currency, which is the thread here underlying all that I'm talking about. It's the thread that's alive, notwithstanding all the broken chains that we're watching as Putin made one sentence, he did one thing, tying currency to a commodity, and shut out, and can shut out, everything that the Fed can't print, which is commodity. And that means, brings me back into a furthering of what they're doing, the ripple effect, the blowing back, spitting into the hurricane, the blowback. Again, advance to me an email. Christian does another great job of putting some stuff together. You get the link. The title, Biden Pays Farms to Stop Producing Food. EU out of feed, considering a meat taxes and chicken permits. And he is his statement to you in the title is to up to you to grow food. Remember last week that we were talking they're going to make that difficult as well. The point being, Biden is stopping the food from being produced because of that conservation land thing that they go through the USDA. Any farmer that takes that money is literally, in my mind, facing what we're facing is an enemy of the people. They're a domestic enemy. If they take a bribe to stop making food when Biden said food shortages are real and then made every action to make that real as well, when he had every opportunity to not do that. How this thing really is turned over overnight, I really don't understand. Everybody's still sitting there. All the production's going. We still got grains in storage and all that. I do hear a lot more complaints about the price of fuel from diesel truck owners, the big ones. Big time problem. See, they did that. They attacked you. So what did they do? They just stopped all the imports, didn't they? So who is really the offender here? Who's committing war against who? Who's declared undeclared war against the people of the United States? Where Biden's administration says, we're not going to take this land and we're not going to put it in production, even though we know the food shortages are not. We really have to refocus ourselves away from Russia, Ukraine, who done it, who NATO. I told you, what's going on over there is happening to you. Christian does another great job identifying this, shows you how quickly things can change, how governments can move in real quick with legislation they need. You saw how they omitted to act to stop the Comey fraud, so they won't go that direction either, all to move an agenda forward. And on this, I was telling you, if they start coming after your checks, maybe you're looking at sabotage. You identify how the tests they're using are fraud. No different, I told you about the Comey fraud, how to get at it quick. Those of you that did the study and understand that basics, this will start to help you. The same thing will work in identifying to the official the dereliction of duty to do the law and what was supposed to be done as opposed to what they're doing to you. And so, again, Biden, the government's going to pay people, farmers, to not grow food. Cannot be a president that agrees with being free, with being fed, with being, what, American, right? I don't care what their politics are. Really, I mean, even the most innocent, this president and his administration are all jab harmed. You don't pay people to not grow food when you know you decided you would cause a world famine. Well, maybe the question is that you caused that, didn't you? American betrayal. The United States withdrew Russia's fertilizers from sanctions. To show you how stupid and backwash this is, how back-blowing this is. After the fact, they realize, oh, we can't grow food without Russian fertilizer. Well, we're going to now just rename them after the fact. We're not too smart about thinking forward. No, we're going to do it after the fact. We're going to remove fertilizers because they're essential. Shows you how non-thinking what's going on here. How unaware is going on, if I'm going the innocent factor. What actually happened here is when they did that, they didn't realize, no one actually realized how much of an effect it would cause against the food system, and that's getting the natives riled quick. Really quick. What this little glitch in the supply chain is, I don't know. The United States is very afraid of being left without fertilizer, and this fear is much stronger than their principled, in quotes, position on Russia. And this is the whole point. There is no principle. it's all crime. The war criminal was declared by the war criminal himself, Biden. He declared war on the United States, and he continues to declare war where he doesn't allow people to, or give the advanced cause to grow food. Like, Christian even brings it up. Where was the UN cry and call to make victory gardens immediately, like I've been doing here, to say, make it important, figure out what you can do. Part of my thought was also, as the food costs rise and you can afford less, or the energy costs rise and you can't, and you got to divide your bank account between the two, whatever you got left, you're going to have to start putting on your back the production that you won't be buying. In other words, compensate if the food costs are going up at 8 or 10% a year, the availability is going down at maybe 20%, of the things you want, you're going to have to now start growing those things at that rate just to keep up with what you had as normal. The new normal is austerity. They're going to get that. And this president, so-called, he's a war criminal on his own, in my mind. I mean, you have call other people war criminals. This guy is sabotaging the entire United States of America. And all he had to do was agree to Russia to not allow them to feel that they were being slighted on reasonable considerations in the international sphere. And so we get hit, they put sanctions, and they go, oh, wait a minute, not the fertilizer. So we'll still do business with Russia, if you don't understand the hypocrisy here. We'll still do business with Russia because we need some fertilizer. There is no principle here. This was a war declared, and this was a bad war, a bad tactical decision right up front. Predictable. Many people would have seen it. You heard me say it behind the woodshed. Yes, and I was saying, if the whole point was the sanctions, you know they don't work, and it was to deter, and you're already a week past the invasion, don't do the sanctions. But you're moving way too slow, and they're moving way too quick. The United States has eased sanctions against the Russian industry. In other words, like it's supposed to be done in international law, don't mess with the company, the nation's businesses. Let them do for themselves. That's not a threat to anybody. Keeping the people fed. Regime change, go ahead. Take the politics out. But the people, they're going to be there. They're inert to the whole system mostly anyway. That's partly what that rule's about. Show you how much value you have as people. But in fact, the restrictions have been eased for the whole industry in Russia. The American authorities have revised certain positions in relation to the anti-Russian sanctions. The Washington has classified mineral fertilizers as essential goods. So you'll do business with somebody when they have the goods. This is not even commodities here. That's goods. That's a whole other section of the UCC. Understand what they're actually telling us in this notice. At the same time, we get the reports, fertilizer is out of control. U.S. farm ditch corn for soy to save on costs. Well, we understand that soy and soy protein derivatives are what they're moving into things like almost meat kind of stuff. You realize the genius behind the intention to attack the United States through its own government. And governments, as far as COVID fraud went. It's all pushing the same thing. Why I'm really concerned about giving too much to give Russia the international law, give them that section. Don't give them necessarily what that ends up meaning, ultimately. Fertilizer is out of control. Fertilizer prices are at record highs following Russia's invasion of Ukraine. Puts massive pressure on American farmers to transition to crops that need less fertilizer. Now, do I have to read more about how stupid this action was? I don't even know, is it even stupid? S-T-O-O-P-I-D. Is it even that good? The people in the United States government are attacking you. I've been saying this forever. What they're willing to do across the pond and wherever they're going to do it, they're doing it to you here, whether you see it or you don't. We're seeing it now. I don't know what you do when you can't get what you need. And we, as a people, were not forward-thinking enough to be able to say, wait a minute, I see a real problem here. Oh, they did get jabs. I better start providing for myself. My thought turns to what? Mining. Because I know of places where the EPA will say that the water has high phosphate conditions that are poisoned, toxic watersheds, and you look at that and go, and they blame farming, and you look, wait a minute, the mineral's full of phosphate. Why aren't we mining that stuff? And when you find out the EPA is one of the pillars of the UN agenda, then you realize why they're doing that and why no one, it seems, I don't know, he doesn't answer why no one sees it, why it seems to me to dismay, why no one, it seems, doesn't see through that. So wait a minute, we need to take that mineral out of the ground so it doesn't so-called pollute the water system, and we can use it on our crops. And oh, by the way, our technology is now able to give us what we need in order so that we apply that much better so we don't have the actual runoff, which is, can be done by mitigation measures anyway. No, we condemn the land, we condemn the water, we blame people for doing things they're not doing, and we don't realize that, like it was mercury. I mean, like I told you, I came through into mining when I was very, very young, and my family was the mercury miners, cinnabar, liquid mercury. When they made mercury a poison, I'm like 10 years old, I'm thinking, why'd they stop everybody from pulling out the mineral, the mercury? If it's poisoning the water, we're taking the mercury out. Why wouldn't they want us to continue? It's this very problem right here. We have phosphate deposits. They blame them on farming that's polluting the water, and they don't let you go after it. In the United States, this has been an ongoing attack for a year, decades. It's not just happening because of Ukraine. But fertilizer's out of control now, as everything's going to be out of control. Pentagon scrambles to restock weapons sent to Ukraine as arm makers look to cash in. Not only did we cause the problem in Ukraine, but the military-industrial complex is going to get theirs, and you're not. You're not going to get your fertilizer, and if you do, it's going to be a bunch of money. But now, here's something I haven't said as well. I think I might have mentioned it, but I want to remind you all. There's another type of austerity that happens. We've been talking about food shortages. There's another way besides seeing empty shelves to see food shortages, is what I just said a little bit earlier, and I say periodically. When you don't have enough money to buy the food on the shelf, you're looking at the illusion of a shortage you can't see right in your face because it's there and you can't touch it because the cost is so high, like the fertilizer for the farmer. I just saw a video, I put it in the chat room. Italy, blocks and blocks long of people standing in a bread line. And I just couldn't help but think that's coming to a 10-city blocks near you if this thing continues, if we don't figure out as people how to work this thing out for ourselves. But the Pentagon scrambles to restock weapons sent to Ukraine on something they're not supposed to be involved in, something they're not supposed to be making war with Russia, war the United States declared. You're not going to get bread because they're going to spend money, the Pentagon sending money to Javelins and Stingers missiles to give them to the Ukraine army that appears to be being decimated left and right. And the arrogance and hypocrisy, and you can see they don't learn, and this is a dangerous example. Evidence to us. U.S. will allow India to buy Russian oil, threaten sanctions if New Delhi buys too much. What did I just say? If you put economic sanctions on a country, you've declared war. The United States has just put it out there, but we have the power to allow you, a sovereign, allow you or not. And if you don't pay attention to us, we will threaten to declare war on you, India. Now, how much do you think that's going to embrace India, that they're going to embrace the United States over that threat when they can turn, they're part of BRICS, it's the I in BRICS, when the United States does that, that they don't turn to Eurasia and say, like they would do in Yemeni, and I'm going to get to that too, I'll buy your wheat, Russia, in rubles. Let's work it. U.S. will allow India, Who is the U.S.? It's showing that the issue of the United States is now impotent, as I told you. All the United States can do is declare war right now because it's not a military power relative to the type of thing it's trying to chew off in the world. It's lost its control. Russia saw it, figured it out, executed upon it, and the dominoes are starting to fall. What do? We threaten India with some authority, like we can allow a sovereign nation anything, actually. That's bullying. And in this case, I think now the example's been made. The break is made. And there is a neighborhood of people in a community now, Eurasia, that can come together, coalesce, and make it so. Whether they do or not, I don't know. I think there's enough understanding of the bully in the world that I think that will be the common enemy that they can use to come together. As we heard before, Saudi UA leaders ignore Biden when he calls to talk for gas prices. I want to say it again. It's broken. There's no respect for the United States. It's overstayed. It's welcome. It has no actual utility. There's enough competition in the world that can be fed by even, see, Russia may be the largest country, but it's not the biggest, if you will. They're not the biggest population. They got a ton to produce, and they have a lot of people they can send it to. They don't need the United States. They actually don't need Europe. But Europe is completely dependent, no matter what direction they look to go get it. As we get into, there it is, Europe will fall apart. German expert predicts future fuel goes to 4 euros. That's a little bit, I think, over $4. And they go by the liter, folks. So multiply by 4. Empty shelves in store, rising food prices, K's at checkouts, and fights for basic things, folks. I've been telling you, this is the reality of today's Europe, where law and order has remained somewhere outside the supermarket. The useful standard of living is in comfort is now a thing of the past, as are fuel prices. This is the whole problem with Europe and even the United States. All these Western countries, they went to comfort and convenience, and they dropped their industrial base. We moved it, offshored it to China. And I don't know of anybody that has a thinking mind, a couple brain cells, that understands what sense it made that we offshored our industrial capacity, our production capacity. Production, again, folks, your basic, your necessity. Manufacturing is actually production. It's not actually commerce. And we have to understand this again. I've been talking about it. I hope at some point people start understanding what I've been saying, that we start to put a better awareness on our view of what's going on so we come up with better kind of responses to what's happening. Getting over into now what I said before, what broke and what gave people license to do. Yemeni Houthis have declared their readiness to buy Russian wheat for rubles. Now, the United States has declared war on that country and starving out everybody there. Not one word to help those folks before we went talking about Ukraine. But the Yemeni Houthis have said, we'll deal with you, Russia, and we'll pay in what money you want. Very smart people, as far as I can tell, but the crack is here. Here it is. The worst off country, the most vulnerable country, is the first to respond with their need to a country who's made the new rule and they're willing to accept the terms. I don't know if I need to, again, I don't even need to read this. I read through the stories. It is what the title is pretty much, or not, and I'll explain some of that. But do I need to know more when a most vulnerable country in the world moves immediately to ask Russia for their wheat and that they will do business in rubles to show you the shift that's beginning, that will, well, it's already happened. It's already happened. And this in the face of ongoing dementia or jab harms that are undocumented, I suppose, but urging regime change in Russia, Biden exposes U.S. aims in Ukraine was a story looking at trying to take out Putin. President Biden's declaration in Warsaw, which is a whole other problem now, with Vladimir Putin cannot remain in power has forced the White House to do damage control, insisting that he was not calling for the Russian leader's ouster. This is not the thing you say after you've declared war on a nation. But no amount of spin can obscure the obvious, just like when he blurted out the truth that the U.S. and its allies supported by Al-Qaeda dominated insurgency in Syria. Biden had laid bare the United States government's longstanding regime change aims in Russia, the Ukraine used as the tip of the spear. The hatred for which has blinded them to do the more principled things, I would have to say, in the most basic view here. And so they can't help themselves. And it's again, they're impotent. That's all they have to do is blurt out stupidity. And they do. And this shows you the lack of actual quality of leadership. We were talking in the RLM chat just before the broadcast. Nothing else. This should prove to everybody democracy failed. Democracy is not something we do. It's not something we should use as an example, and we should not foster and encourage it, let alone direct democracy, which is that another foreign imposition that is the end game at the end, where your phone becomes your vote. But it's the reverse vote. Are you complying? As we see, what's more important to Biden is to declare their sake and put money where your mouth is. You know them by their deeds. Biden would budget billions for climate, environmental justice, and global gender equity. Now, a lot of these terms have other meanings to the foreigners that are inside your country, but this is what Biden clearly thinks about doing. This is the end game. This is what happens no matter what happens in Ukraine and what Russia will impose, what China will impose, what the Eurasian bloc will impose when they're doing their own work. Remember, it's just a bunch of electrons when you get to digital. You can put any code name on the electrons. It's still electrons, and it's ledgering and keeping track of all the property, which are the people and their commodity production. Remember that part. But Biden's focus right now isn't on all the war he's declaring around the world. It's that we're going to budget billions. He wants to budget billions for environmental justice and global gender equity, which is what I said. The EPA is the third pillar of that environmental pillar. Justice, in a way, has no definition, but we kind of sense, we know that there's a justice if when you finally do a harm to someone and they finally say, I'm paid enough for my harm, notwithstanding the irreparable nature of it, that becomes justice. It's not determined ahead of time. Global gender equity, how do you do that? There's not supposed to be gender. There is no gender in law, and it's all neutral. And so this is a totally foreign condition that Biden is all focused on. Clear thinking about this. But he cannot figure out that he's declared war on a nation that's prepared for it. And we see clearly here that this is a not for you. This is going to be $11 billion for international climate finance, as well as multi-billion dollar investments said to advance, quote, equity and equality globally. And these are all private leverage funding things that I've talked about before. That's what he's focused on. He's declaring war on everybody, and he wants to implement this thing. This is the WEF stuff, and that's not even that's just the focus group. There's some more underneath all that, folks. Don't get focused in on too many singular places of harm or causation. There's like I said, it's a cancer. It's just like everywhere, caused by all kinds of different, I guess, agendas, motives. And then we move on here. Video run, Rand Paul warns Biden is a national security risk because he is in cognitive decline. Well, I'm not much on Rand Paul, but here we have, again, we're in a time in the world when there are truths being spoken that we should be able to respond with. As I told you, given the jab and the harms, we could make this claim. Rand Paul makes it. He's made it for the political reason. And this guy, Rand Paul, is not a good guy. I've never agreed with, not, I can't say never, but I don't know what part I would agree. The duplicity coming out of this guy is just staggering and scary. However, he politically, he's asking for, claiming that Biden's a national security risk. and in cognitive decline. And I've said that before, because of the jab, because of the decisions of these people, they may have made their own problem. And you do now have that ability to start to look for a potential remedy. Maybe Rand Paul, the problem I would find, if I had time, maybe someone I would contact to say, okay, how are we going to get that done? How do you do that? How do you do that from Congress? Let's do it. White House has spent the past fortnight explaining the walking back idiotic and dangerous statements by Joe Biden, the last coming from Tuesday after he appeared to admit the U.S. is training Ukraine troops in Poland. This also turns on what I was just now saying. You know, he focuses on things for billions of international finance. He's making war on it all, but international finance for advanced equity investments. That's more market, it's for the green crowd. They want their leverage funding and equality globally, whichever that is. It's equality on their terms. He agrees to that, but he makes war at every other term. It's not a stable official that you want in office. And so there's a lot of, they talked about idiotic and dangerous statements. No, these are the statements that we can presume to be of a valid official that has the power to make them. And you need to treat that at that level. And then you get to use this cognitive decline problem. And I think you have a good cause to bring forth the cause, which is the jab that they imposed without any finding of the infectious agent for which the jab would work, and the jab being illegal in any jurisdiction because the jab is not a vaccine and the jab cannot prevent whatever it was they could have found. And so will Rand Paul continue to press this cognitive decline and then expose that when he goes to climate justice, instead of not declaring war, that we're going to bring that into the view or not? I don't know. But I don't think so. Rand Paul agrees with the jab. And this continuing theme underneath the skin of all this, no matter where you end up going, where this strife in the world goes, you end up with the government's continuing a thread. A Bank of England collaborates with MIT to research state-controlled digital currencies on the back of last week's MIT working with Kanukistan in order to do the very same thing. The Bank of England recently announced that it is forming a partnership, public-private partnership with the Digital Currency Initiative at the Massachusetts Institute of Technology, your academia causing your downfall, the invisible cancer in your system, that actually is the place that the global leaders issue from when you do enough study. The goal of this new technocratic Green Deal will be to engage in joint research regarding the topic of central bank digital currency. I told you all this was coming on. I told you all about the cryptocurrency blockchain, moving the blockchain that they use for you into assets and securities. They aren't going to do it that way. They've got this for them, and they're moving there. The next news after last week about Kanukistan is the Bank of England. And the same week last week was Ukraine, already moving right into this. They're not studying it. The only studying they're doing is how they're going to implement and make sure that they deal with what? All the rural people, all the people that don't have phones, all the people that can't get accounts. And you ought not better say, oh, I can get a phone, or you can hand me one, like the Obama phone. See, that was another setup plan. If you don't have one, they'll hand it to you. What's the authority to impose it? Take away my other rights. What happened to the fact I need to use currency that I can put in my hand, make private contracts? You better have something in your mind when they start bringing this thing about what to say. As Europe, if you think it's ended in just the Bank of England and that's Brexit or whatever. European Parliament adopts a draft Digital Services Act. Europe has been attempting to create digital regulation on tech giants like Meta, parent company of Facebook, for a while. Since the testimony of Francis Haugen, the Facebook whistleblower, hopes the regulatory power of the DSA has been elevated. The Digital Services Act suggests that the targeted online advertising and illegal content are the responsibility of the platform owner. Algorithm use should be more transparent. I'll stop there. This is all about government taking control over time of all your digital world, your digital life, what you're going to see, what you're not, making rules about what's proper and what isn't. That's official legal censorship, and how to control the private companies, like they're doing with the cryptocurrency scene. You control the exchanges. Everybody in crypto is going to have to be indentured to a phone, a service on that phone, a exchange of some sort, a porthole, a system to pay for. They're going to get you to pay for all of it. And it's a big servitude leash. And there are all these websites are all controllable. Those of have asked me to get on Telegram. Brazil Supreme Court judge orders blocking of Telegram in country. The governments are used to be able to continue the control, give legalism license to the plunderers. A life that you're being funneled into while everyone's worried about lots of other things. And while they attack us in our food system in the United States, give us something else to worry about, which is real. You're going to have to, you don't know why you wouldn't protect yourself in this. This is on the hook right now. We're going into spring, folks. I hope you have a, in fact, I had to postpone planting. I just realized we're going to have some cold weather that's not going to work good. So the point is, you look, it's the time, folks. U.S. tech giants hit with antitrust probes. Again, the governments can control the internet, the web system. They're in control of it. It's the military, actually. It's the civil arm of it. You are getting into a digital world with these digital currencies that all the suppliers, all the private, so-called private domains are under control. And there's no escape from that. Now, we can choose to go in there ahead of time, and we can just go ahead and not look at that fact. Or we can say, wait a minute, I want my right to private contract. I want my right to private money. I want my right to all my rights. And I don't want to be conditioned by all this. No, I'm going to make this phone, which is the object of desire for all nations into the future, I'm going to make this maybe supplemental. And I'm not going to agree to it. I don't have to. Post office social media surveillance program found to be illegal, because that's the reason. The government is now acting outside of its authority, and there's really no check except for this review conducted by the Post Office. The Postal Service Office of Inspector General found that the Postal Service, not the office, but the Postal Service Surveillance Program, ICOP, exceeded its legal authority by surveilling Americans during protests between 2018 and 2021. Were you part of that, folks? Is that part of our problem here when I'm trying to get a mail to go from one place in the county to another, and then we find out it gets lost? Is that when we try to send our legal filings to the Washington, D.C. as a Jefferson Mining District and got it diverted four times to another places and never made the destination? Is this the type of post office that is now controlling our lives, that looks at every piece of surveillance, every piece of letter as a surveillance thing? As we see, Russia sets date for Instagram shutdown. The governments can control all of this. Your every aspect of communication is controlled by the government. If you rely on the digital future they're setting up, notwithstanding what Ukraine and Russia does, notwithstanding the food problem, notwithstanding the acts of war declared, the war that they declared on you was undeclared, and they're taking every country is in on it to be able to control the future that passes through this turmoil. Torguard settles privacy lawsuit and agrees to block torrent traffic. Again, a company being shut down from being and giving open access to the internet. If you don't consider the war to include the internet and how they're doing this thing through, rethink what's going on. Reposition yourself like Russia did. Reposition yourself so you can weather the storm and have it blow back on the oppressor. I hope something today I said was helpful to you. And you can hopefully pass the broadcast around, let people know about it, and get the word out, folks. Get some seeds in the ground as you can. I'll be with you next week. Tech Diffs, or Nature Will.
That's another lesson. I hope with today's information you can take it to those that misbehave. From behind the woodshed, leaving his mark on the beast, this is Hal Anthony. Till next time, journey with purpose.
Oh, open up a can of whoop-ass feels like.
Son, you just opened a whole case of whoop-ass.